Big Finish for the love of stories.
You're listening to the Big Finish podcast. Release date Sunday, the 28th of April, 2024.
And so it begins. And so it ends. And so it begins. The Proteus was the last remaining ship on Khan.
You are Captain Argento of the Proteus.
Her crew was to ensure that the Sisterhood were all resettled and that any stray survivors from Morbius's forces were gathered as prisoners.
This is it, folks!
Q-Nick and Benji!
Hello to all of you. Hello. I'm Benji Clifford. He's Nick Briggs. Yes. This is Big Finish. Audiobooks, audio drama, and this podcast, all for the love of stories.
This week, it's the last of our Slim Down podcasts. I've been in studio directing and acting for Big Finish. Can't wait to tell you about the exciting stuff I've been doing, but I'll have to wait. Apologies for that. We'll be back to full strength in next week's podcast with the return of the Good Review Guy. A bumper edition of listeners' emails. And the Randomoid Selectatron. But rest assured, we're doing our best to entertain you and preview our latest releases today.
And in the spirit of that, we'll be going behind the scenes and dramatising you with Dark Gallifrey, Morbius, Part 2, out this Thursday, the 2nd of May.
Dark Gallifrey is our epic Doctor Who spin-off series featuring a host of Time Lord villains, and we've kicked off with Morbius. I mean, it's quite dangerous kicking off with Morbius.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that.
Don't kick off with Morbius. Anyway, it's Part 1, released last month. If you haven't heard it, now's your chance to catch up, because Part 2 is heading right at you.
But before we go behind the scenes with Morbius, just a sneaky email. A sneemail, if you will.
We'll just sneak this in from Melody Soundy. Need a little advice, they say. Hello there, Nick and Benji. Just thought I'd pop in to sing your praises and ask for a little advice. But first, Benji mentioned he didn't get adverts when listening to Into the TARDIS on Spotify, and I do get ads. I have premium. It was funny because when I put on episode 1, I kept on freaking out as I thought my Spotify was glitching or I pressed play on the wrong podcast. It was a jump scare. Still enjoyed it though, as I'll have more free Big Finish any day. I think Into the TARDIS and Big Finish will be my top podcasts.
Great taste.
Okay, now back on topic to the email. As you know, I've been getting into Big Finish through listening to season 1 of the 8th Doctor Adventures on Spotify for free. After finishing Human Resources, I can proudly say I'm sold and can't wait to check out more Big Finish on Spotify and buy some too. Thank you, Melody. Thank you. I absolutely fell in love with Paul McGann's 8th Doctor and Lucy Miller. Also, Nick, your Cybermen were very menacing in Part 2. That no good in Part 1. And it gave me goosebumps. Great job. They weren't in Part 1, I don't think. Since I finished, I'll quickly give you my ranking. At number 1, Immortal Beloved, 10 out of 10. At number 2, Human Resources Part 2, 10 out of 10. At number 3, Human Resources Part 1, 10 out of 10. At number 4, Phobos, 9 out of 10. Number 5, Horror of Glam Rock, 9 out of 10. Number 6, No More Lies, 8.5 out of 10. Number 7, Blood of the Daleks Part 1, 8 out of 10. And number 8, Blood of the Daleks Part 2, 8 out of 10. A very good season. There wasn't any meh or stinkers for me. So it makes me eager to check out more 8 audios. That brings me to my main question. Based on my ranking of season 1, what 8th Doctor stories would both of you recommend checking out? I already have my eyes peaked on both Lady Audacity sets. You are experts, Nick and Benji, so I would love to know your opinion. Keep up the great work, Nick and Benji, with the podcast, as it's a nice, relaxing listen. Relaxing! Sorry, relax.
Relaxing.
Don't relax.
Relaxing. Just relax!
All the best, Melody. Right. What are your recommendations for the 8th Doctor range?
I mean, you know, it's a difficult one for me because I've worked on an awful lot of them.
Yeah.
So if anything I say is going to, you know, look, so I'm going to take a left field one. I mean, obviously, I would say check out everything, but I'll say it's not something I worked on. I'd say check out Dark Eyes, because that's kind of that's where it all began in what I would say the modern Eighth Doctor, the way in which things Big Finish Boxer, the way it works, it all stems from Dark Eyes, and it's a cracking romp. And I think really, you know, still to this day is kind of, I put it on essential Big Finish listening. Would you say?
Run, Molly! Run!
Take my hand.
No, this is all mad. Just madness.
Listen, Molly, this is going to be really difficult for me to explain, mainly because I don't really have a clue what's going on myself.
Not got all the answers then, the Doctor.
Not by a long chalk, but isn't it obvious that those things, the Daleks, are intent on doing us some serious harm?
This just isn't decent. It's...
I know, no time for all that.
The destruction of the Time Lords will be achieved.
No problem, friend.
One would think you had TARDISes materializing here every day.
I don't have a clue who you really are. All I know is that you think you're saving me, but you don't know why. Is that about the size of it?
Well...
And that you call yourself the Doctor, which sounds like a 10th-rate stage name to me. Oh, no! They're in your bathroom!
Exterminate the Doctor!
Back the other way!
Time Squad to Dalek Time Controller, now in Earth 20th Century Zone 2.
They're following us, flying again.
Flying? What are these creatures?
Hey, what's flying?
Never you mind, take a left here, cabby.
No entry, mate.
Commit a traffic offence or get blown up. I'll leave the choice to you.
Hang on!
Dark Eyes.
Are you looking for a punch on the nose?
So you've been here before.
You wouldn't consider killing me, would you?
Molly, this is 1940.
1940? What do you mean?
I told you the TARDIS is a time machine.
1940? Sure. It's true. You did say something of the kind.
This is it. Strax's old boy. This'll be one for the history books.
All right, I get it. You're fighting a war against these Daleks.
I don't want to be fighting a war.
And it's getting you down, I understand that. But it doesn't mean you should give up.
Doesn't it?
Doctor, you will be exterminated!
I know!
No, we haven't discovered time travel. But we've discovered a time traveller.
Who?
Him. The Doctor.
What do you mean?
You can take this thing anywhere in history. Anywhere in the world.
And beyond?
Beyond the world? What? You mean, like the moon and the sun?
Well, yeah. I'm biased because I wrote and directed it. And it was tremendously successful. And I got an award for it as well, which was lovely. The BBC Audio Drama Award. Amazing and unexpected. Yes. But the ones before that, I'm very fond of. I had so much fun working on those. Working with Sheridan was just such a joy. She's such an amazing actor. But I would like to recommend Grand Theft Cosmos by Eddie Robson, which I just think is such a brilliant caper. It's just great. It really makes me laugh.
Oh, look. What? There's the Doctor and Lucy.
Where?
Don't look now!
When he's bored of his artists, he goes out onto his balcony and eats them in front of a crowd.
Blimey, Charlotte! Come on out!
Good grief!
What is it?
The statue, it's moving! In fact, it's moved!
I thought you were dead.
Who told you that?
No, I'm super. Never been better.
I think it's time you backed off, Doctor.
What could we do?
I'll think of something.
I must have misheard.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, Karen's dead does sound a lot like Karen's in Sweden in the late 1890s, doesn't it?
What's that noise?
I can't let it fall into the wrong hands.
Nobody's going to recognise us. Just act casual.
In fact, I can't let it fall into any hands.
Oh, look over there.
What?
His works alter the fabric of the world around
them. I just suddenly came over terribly faint.
They have a malign influence on people.
Knock the guard out, pick the lock. Can't believe I fell for that.
It's only a matter of time before it spills out into our universe, causing a collision of matter that will certainly kill us all.
So, what are you saying?
We're going to steal it first.
Another light-hearted one by Johnny Morris called Max Warp, which is Yeah, clearly a send-up, or a pastiche of the popular show Top Gear. You know, so instead of guys getting all excited about cars, they're getting all excited about spaceships.
Strap yourselves in, engage thrust, and prepare for Max War.
You are one rubbish date, Doctor.
What?
This. It's all boys with toys, isn't it?
Boys with toys?
All right, middle-aged blokes with spaceships.
Altitude 800 miles. 600.
Are they trying to start a war?
President Farmer.
They are great little gadgets, aren't they?
Calculating.
There are spaceships, and there are spaceships.
Help! Help!
There is no way out.
Why no escape pods? What sort of spaceship do you call this?
And then there are spaceships.
Who's the guy with the ball patch and the tight jeans?
It's beyond that now. The Kith will interpret this as an act of war.
I'm going to get the doctor. He'll know what to do.
Oh, my God. I never thought I'd hear that again.
What is it?
A battle readiness alert means only one thing. We're at war.
Don't worry about me. Go, go!
And that's great fun. Yeah, so those are my two light-hearted recommendations. I mean, I think they're all... Yeah. I think your ranking, Melody, is really interesting that you put Immortal Beloved first. I mean, I loved it, but I would not put that first. And Blood of the Daleks so low. Yeah. I think, Melody, you're interested in stories with more emotional content. I think that's the truth of the matter, which is a good thing.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, absolutely. But that's the beauty of Doctor Who. It's different for everybody.
Exactly. It's a broad church, if you pardon the sort of pun. Oh, by the way, talking of silly, mad things... I suddenly thought, you know, I'm not very into quizzes, but I thought I was watching something. I thought of a brilliant quiz question. What links the famous song Downtown with the first Doctor? You'll never get it.
I'll never get it. I don't even know what the famous song Downtown is. So.
Downtown. Da, 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 da. Never heard of that. Oh, goodness me. Well, anyway, it was sung by Petula Clark.
Uh-huh.
And Petula Clark plays William Hartnell's daughter in a film called Murder in Reverse, which was made in 1945.
Grief. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's niche, that is.
And as far as I know, it's the only film that William Hartnell starred in, because the credit comes out at the beginning. It says William Hartnell in Murder in Reverse, 1945.
Interesting. Yeah. Would you look at that?
And he plays his own age for the beginning of the film, but then his character gets put in prison for a murder he didn't commit for 15 years, which in those days was a life sentence. People lived shorter lives. But he comes out as an old man. And so he plays an old man.
Yeah. And how similar did he look as an old man to the first Doctor?
Well, quite different, actually. I think they just used his hair because he had more hair back in those days and they just whited it up. And he wasn't such a posh character, of course. Yeah. But there were some similarities, definitely. Yeah. And I know, I remember seeing in an Adventure in Space and Time, they said to William Hartnell, played by Dave Bradley, they said, and you like playing old, don't you? You know, it was something that William Hartnell liked to do. And he was doing it from very early on in his career. And in a movie he started. Also, Dinah Sheridan played his daughter.
Oh,
she was Councillor Flavia, wasn't she, in the Five Doctors?
Yeah, absolutely. Good grief.
Anyway, sorry.
Funny,
for
isn't
that
it, how those, you know, all these people had long careers before what we remember them for in Doctor Who.
Well, as I say, listeners' emails will be back with a vengeance next week in a bumper edition. In the meantime, let's go behind the scenes with this week's epic release, Dark Gallifrey, Morbius, Part 2.
My name is Tim Foley, and I am the writer of Dark Gallifrey, Morbius. I'd heard whispers of Dark Gallifrey, I think, a few months before I'd heard anything official about it. The rumour that was going around was that there was going to be a big epic series that was writer-led. What do I mean by writer-led? I meant that each writer was going to be given their own Time Lord and they were going to be free to do whatever they liked with them. It was kind of like the Villains trilogy from 2003, those stories, that little runner stories featuring Omega, Davros and Master. However, this time, there'd be a bit more connective tissue, the stories would be longer, and it'd be, you know, just on a larger canvas. And I thought, wow, that sounds amazing. I hope I'm a part of that. I pray that I'm a part of that.
Hello, my name is Samuel Clemens, and I am the director of this episode, Morbius, Dark Gallifrey.
We are trapped down here for now. But the time will come when we're far away from this matchbox of a ship.
And you will crush this too?
Of course.
Great, well, let's have a little tea break. Thank you very much, everyone.
Morbius, Dark Gallifrey is a really interesting piece because it's the first time for quite a while we've brought back the character of Morbius. It's interesting because in the television episode, The Brain of Morbius, it sort of becomes quite a physical entity, and this feels more like a, I suppose, a mental entity. It does manifest in some way, but it is very different.
There are lots of benefits to writing a big story. I much prefer when I've been given 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours to really sort of get my teeth into the characters, the world, the drama. And I hope listeners have enjoyed whenever I've had that opportunity as well. There are challenges that come with that kind of project. I mean, for starters, you've got to have lots and lots and lots of plot. You've got to fill up those 3 hours. You also want more complex characters as well, and there's often going to be a larger canvas of characters. So you've got to think about how they all interrelate with each other. With this particular project, there was the added limitation, shall we say, that holding back of Morbius, kind of to sort of, you know, it's that traditional way of when people are talking about him, they're talking about the war, you don't want him to just rock up instantly. So we're really sort of drip feeding the audience Morbius's appearances. So I had to ensure that my original characters who were going to take a lead in this story were compelling enough for people to want to go along with them on this ill-fated voyage.
This is Samuel West and I'm playing Morbius. I think it's a really fine script. It's extremely speakable. It's got some quite spooky ideas. And, it goes into the mouth very well. I particularly enjoyed playing the Interface, who is a sort of programmed welcoming robot that Morbius has provided to do his introducing for him, who's very polite and slightly passive-aggressive. And I enjoyed playing him very much.
Halfway through the writing of this story, I discovered it was going to be possible that we got Sam West back, and I was delighted. I think he is such a good audio actor. And of course, he's played Morbius before. And I think there's something quite delicious that I'm doing, you know, quite a different Morbius character. And yet the man's ego ensures that he will always have this face. He will always have this form. I like that. I think that was a lot of fun to be had there. We have a motley crew aboard the Proteus. They are led by Captain Argento. She's an old war veteran and a captain of the Proteus, but she's not very well at the present.
I'm Rachel Atkins, and I'm playing Captain Argento.
How quickly you forget
that you saved my life. Yes, yes. Bet you wish you hadn't now.
Nobody out there trusts you. It's your fault we're in this mess.
Maybe it is. As captain, the buck stops with me. I genuinely really, really enjoyed reading this story. I think Tim Foley is an excellent writer. They're all fully rounded characters. You need to know exactly what the characters are, and he gives the actors a lot to go on. So I loved it. I had no idea what was going to happen either.
Just type Morbius into the search pane at the top at bigfinish.com to see all the lovely things that materialise before your eyes. And Morbius Part 2 is out this Thursday, the 2nd of May. And if you can't wait, we'll be giving you a free 15-minute drama tease of it any second now.
At this stage, it looks very much like we'll be previewing Torchwood 1, I Hate Mondays in the next edition of the podcast. Tracy Ann Oberman, Gareth, David Lloyd and Tim Bentinck star in three great adventures by James Goss and Joe Lidster, featuring psychic plasma, international espionage and a deadly Euphorian nerve agent not to be missed.
In the meantime, however, it only remains for me to say that this edition of the Big Finish podcast was presented by me, Benji Clifford, and him, Nick Briggs. Nick also wrote, produced, and edited it.
And of course, Benji and I did this
for the love of stories.
And finally on the Big Finish podcast, Dark Gallifrey, Morbius by Tim Foley, part 2. Previously on Dark Gallifrey.
And so it begins. And so it ends. And so it begins. The Proteus was the last remaining ship on Khan.
You are Captain Argento of the Proteus.
Her crew was to ensure that the Sisterhood were all resettled and that any stray survivors from Morbius's forces were gathered as prisoners.
This is it, folks! The Proteus is going home!
Then we are away.
And when we're back on Gallifrey, there'll be a hero's welcome for each and every one of us.
What is this sky?
It's the vortex. What we sail on, in, through, between.
Rolko will already have told half the crew that we're giving passage to one of the sisters.
I bear greetings from the Sisterhood.
I don't need those. Where's the elixir?
But somebody else would be joining them.
Starboard bow! It's a ship! Glowing, shimmering, and it's coming this way!
I can see it! It's a man!
We're bringing that thing aboard!
Captain Silver Argento.
And soon he will rise.
Rise.
Morbius is not a man to be defeated by death.
Dead ahead.
It's an island. In the vortex. An Isle of the Dead.
Chapter 4, The Isle of the Dead. Deaths in the Sisterhood were few and far between. When Gilda was a little girl, she witnessed one of her elders pass away, dispersed in the sacred flame. As a young novice, Gilda was tasked with gathering the ashes and scattering them on the Protectress. The Protectress was the largest mountain on Khan, eternally tipped with snow. Despite the cold, its peaks forever carried the stench of burnt decay. This is what Gilda could smell right now. Before her lay an expanse of white. Behind her, the Proteus crippled on the jagged ice. Most aboard looked upon this tundra with fear, but there were those inside who knew this barren land held promise.
Again. See how your breath hangs in the air.
It was cold already on the voyage.
Now it is colder still. And I can almost feel it. To be trapped in this stifling place has been agony.
We will not be on the ship much longer.
I mean your mind, Veritas. I once had the reach of this entire galaxy. My shackles are tighter than yours. But now I grip the wrists of half this crew. And out there, upon the ice, I will be free.
White as far
far as the eye can see, until it dissolves into mist. Can you understand it? An island in the vortex? One with an atmosphere and, if my spyglass isn't mistaken, inhabitants?
Who's out there?
I can't tell. But there's movement, all right. On the ice. How are you feeling?
Fine.
Nothing like a shock to focus the mind, I suppose.
How many dead?
From the crush, a dozen. From the crash, only two. Gibbon and Vard.
We bury them. All of them.
Out there.
And then we focus on the two mysteries. Where we are, and how to leave. Are you behind me on that?
Of course.
You weren't before. I may have had a moment back there, but I saw what you were doing.
I don't know what you mean.
Mutiny. It's a dirty word. Can you say it? Or does it stick in your throat?
My concern is the safety of you, the ship, and its crew.
Well, the first two are beggared. We haven't done a very good job of that.
Are you admitting you're unfit to lead?
Are you admitting you're trying to muscle in? Tell me, face to face. Tell me to stand down.
I will not tell you that.
Then you're a coward. You'd never have the strength for such a plot on your own. Who put you up to this?
You go too far, Argento. How quickly you forget
that you saved my life. Yes, yes. Bet you wish you hadn't now.
Nobody out there trusts you. It's your fault we're in this mess.
Maybe it is. As captain, the buck stops with me.
And you can remain as captain. I don't need the title, the trinkets and Rassilon. I'm not going to depose you, but you are going to stand back and let me take charge. Two mysteries, you said. Let's split them up. I'll oversee the repairs, and you explore out there.
And if I refuse?
You won't. You really think me a coward? I carried you through a battlefield. I can carry you off your own ship.
And there we have it.
We used to be friends.
Maybe that friendship died when I last did. Go! Let me prepare for my trip.
Mr. Middlewich.
What is it?
I just returned to my cabin. They've taken him.
Well, who?
The Shimmering Man. My door is wide open and it's clear that they've...
Gilda, this is the least of my concerns.
You said he was your guest.
That was before we crashed. Have you any proof my crew have taken him? I saw you disembark earlier. Perhaps he did the same.
He was in no fit state.
The hull of our ship is smashed. The deck is all askew. There are good men dead in the belly of this vessel. And you want me to care about this stranger?
You'll gather your people and speak to them.
You know what? I'll do precisely that. Crew! Assemble!
Thank you.
All right. You know the situation. It shouldn't be happening to you, to any of us. I'm sorry. But we're all in this together. My focus is on you, the ship. Getting it repaired, getting you home. The captain, however, wishes to mount an expedition into the unknown to see where we are.
Why'd she do that?
What is this?
So she's going out there.
She can't.
And if anyone wants to volunteer for this assignment, to accompany her on a frankly foolhardy mission, then please speak now.
Why are you doing this?
I'm putting the Proteus first. That's what I'm here for.
Right decision.
Then you abandon your captain in her time of need. I will go with her. I suppose you have no objection to that.
Saves me from actively encouraging it.
And others of you will join us. Some of you, at least. This is your captain, who led you into battle and led you back out again. You owe her your lives. Three of you. Thank you.
No skin off my nose. James, Trisk, Fallon, report to the landing ramp in 1 hour. Feel free to adapt one of the cargo loaders for a kind of sleigh. And bear in mind, you may not return from this.
I shall assist you.
All right. The rest of you, report to the engineers. Let's hear their assessment and let's get cracking.
Yeah.
You were cold.
Don't mind the cold. Numbs the pain. So bright out here.
Even with your spectacles? Maybe you should close your eyes.
Yes, Captain Argento, blindly stumbling around. That just about sums it up, doesn't it?
There's not much to see anyway. Until we find shelter, I can guide you.
Are the others coming?
I see them on deck. They're coming down with supplies.
They told me you encouraged them to volunteer.
I only wish I could have encouraged more.
You have no reason to help me.
I have no reason not to. Besides, perhaps there is a cosmic obligation. I saw you perform an act of kindness. So one in turn must be performed to you.
Do you know where he is? The Shimmering Man?
No. I have to hope that he's safe, wherever he is. But I fear there's a darkness that shifts amongst this crew.
Captain!
First mate, we took your time.
Your trio of volunteers and your supplies.
How gracious of you.
Before we proceed, Mr. Middlewich, would those men please roll up their sleeves?
I'm sorry?
Their sleeves.
In this chill?
They'll do it, or we won't be going anywhere.
You heard her.
That is... Yes. That is acceptable.
Oh, you like what you see?
I like what I don't see. Beware the dark sign, Mr. Middlewich. I know not what it is, but I know it is not good.
What? What are you talking about?
We haven't time for this. We're going. And Middlewich, if we don't return by the time repairs are complete, you'll leave without us, won't you?
I honestly don't know.
A true leader would. Onwards!
Go on, Gilda. You mustn't fall behind.
Heed my warning, please. You are a good man despite this. If you are true to yourself, you'll do the right thing.
A good man? Do you know what I am, Gilda? A Time Lord once. Cast away as a child when my parents angered the state. Exiled, beaten, stripped of my gifts, but promised salvation by this idiotic war. But they'll always shun me as an outsider.
And despite your woes, you were kind to me.
I just want to go home. Look. Take this.
Your spyglass?
You wear it around your neck. It was a gift from the captain once. We looked out for each other. Now it's a gift to you.
Thank you. Flame keep you warm. Flame keep you safe.
Well, it won't get any warmer than this.
Mr. Middlewich.
Rocco, no skiving today, please.
I'm not, sir. Currently overseeing the prisoners. And I need to talk to you about them.
Trouble?
Yep. But not from them. The ship's still unstable down there. And the lower decks are closing faster. I'm worried there'll be another incident.
Oh, blast.
I reckon I can move them safely, sir.
The prisoners?
Need a few men to escort them. We can hold them up on deck here. No trouble.
That's surprisingly considerate of you. You're not going to do anything foolish with them, are you? There'll be no lynching on this ship.
No, sir.
Very well. See to it. And accord them some courtesy.
Yes, sir. I will.
You shouldn't get so far ahead.
A captain leads from the front.
Even so, with your poor visibility.
It's poor for everyone, surely. The white, the mist. But I'm the only one that's not afraid. Perhaps it's the biting cold. Or maybe the impossibility of this island in the first place. But I feel fired up, Gilda. Full of life.
I have observed that your condition gives you many highs and lows. Please be careful.
I'll be careful. But out here, on this tundra, I feel indestructible. I feel...
What was that?
Little Witch did say he saw movement out here.
Are there creatures watching us?
If there are, we mustn't show fear. Not much farther! We find shelter, and then we make camp!
If you're bringing more blueprints, don't bother. I'm drowning in them already.
Sir.
What is it now, Rolko? Is that one of the prisoners?
My name is Veritas.
What are you doing, Rolko?
They sought an audience, sir.
And you thought you'd stride in here with them, did you? The captain's quarters?
I think you'll be interested in what they have to say.
You don't get to tell me what I'm interested in, shipmate.
I meant no disrespect.
This is my fault. I imposed upon your officer. I made an impassioned case.
Big finish for the love of stories.